no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. IC presents the 2021 NHL Draft. Winnipeg Jets, they're now on the clock.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, we've talked a lot about Fedor Svechkov. We talked Craig Button, obviously really likes him. He's going to hop on with us in the next couple minutes here. And obviously, you know, Corson Coolman's, Carson Lambos, the two defensemen, you know, those are options here for the Jets. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to predict who the Jets are going to go with, as we just talked about. I mean, people have tried to kind of get inside the heads of the Jets amateur scouting staff. But I think those three players are definitely options here.
Well, speak of the devil, here he is, TSN Director of Scouting, a good friend of ours. Craig Button joins us on the show now. Craig, welcome. You have Ken Weeb here as well, myself, Ezzy, Dave. It's quite the menagerie of people joining us for this 2021 first round broadcast. Nice to see you this evening.
Well, it's nice to see you got a first-round draft pick and Ken on the show finally, you know. Not a scrub like me. Ken,
I'm just the opening act here. I'm the opening act.
No, you're not. You're a main act, Ken. You don't be telling me that you're an opening act.
So, Craig, the Jets on the clock, and obviously the interest here is sky high. You know, the way this first round has unfolded, I guess, sort of what are your thoughts on the first 17 selections, and what do you think the Jets are going to do with their selection here at number 18 overall?
Well, I think the Jets are going to draft a really good player, because if you look at the record has been exemplary when it comes to the draft. And you know what? I think they do that every year. I think they draft in every single round really well. And they know what they're looking for. They're confident in what they're looking for. And then they get after it and they develop it. Is every player going to turn out? No. But they understand that as well. I think they have a real great opportunity to draft a really good player. Now, whether it's going to be a defenseman or whether it's going to be a forward, time will tell here, and we'll know shortly. So, you know, in my mock draft, I looked at Corson Coolamans and thought that he would be a nice fit, a right shot defenseman. But, you know, there's lots of good players available to the Winnipeg Jets at this pick. As for the draft up to this point, 17 picks, I don't see anything that's surprising. I mean, one of the things, and you guys know I've said this all the time when I come on the show, don't talk about off the board, because the teams selecting have their own boards. And when they select a player, they're not going off of their own board. So, you know, you can look at it. I think we had a pretty strong idea after the first pick that who the players were going to be after that through 8-9. And, you know, we didn't know the order, but we had a pretty strong idea, and I think that played out. Now you get after that and you start to see, you know, the Red Wings trade up to get Sebastian Kosa. Doesn't surprise me one bit, because it's a scenario where I thought that Kosa could be the first goalie drafted. I think he's close enough to Jesper Wallstedt to consider that. And, you know, as you move forward and you watch what teams are doing, you know, after that first 8-9 picks, you know, there's a real good opportunity to draft different types of players, but no less of quality.
You know, Craig, as we kind of wait, you know, a few more minutes here for the Jets to make their selection, you know, we were kind of joking, going back to 13, you know, your brother, of course, having a big say in that pick, drafting Matthew Coronato, Cole Sillinger going right before that to the Columbus Blue Jackets. But safe to say that the Flames, your brother, the entire organization, really happy with the player that they got at 13th overall?
You know, I'm going to say this. I know they are. But if you find an NHL team that isn't happy with the player they select during the first round, please let me know. Because not only do I hear how happy they are, I also always hear how surprised they are that that player was there. I mean, one day somebody's going to come out and say after they select first overall.
Sorry, Ken. We were sorry. Craig, let me interrupt you for a second. Yep. The Jets have selected from the U.S. National Team Development Program, a program they've had a lot of success from before. Chaz Lucius goes yep. to the Jets, 18th overall, a centerman, 6'1", 185. Chaz Lucius is the answer to who the Winnipeg Jets 2021 draft pick will be, first round pick will be. Another member of the Minnesota Mafia, hometown of Grant, Minnesota, coming north eventually, hopefully, to Winnipeg to be a member of the Jets.
Chaz is a really good goal scorer. He was hampered by some injuries in the last year or so, but he's got real good ability, and he's a multi-dimensional scorer. He can score from 35 to 40 feet out. He can score on the forehand. He can score on the backhand. He can score in tight. He's got that magnificent ability, and let me emphasize, magnificent ability to be able to open up goaltenders. And when he gets that opening and he sees that, even the smallest of openings, his hands are so good that he can finish. You know, there's not very many players like Chaz Lucius in this NHL draft. And he talked about, you know, he felt that he was the best goal scorer in the draft. He is one of the best goal scorers in the draft, and there's no question about it. Going to the University of Minnesota, he's going to have an opportunity to develop and progress in his game. We know the Winnipeg Jets are patient with their development and patient with their players, but Chaz Lucius offers real good offensive ability and specifically scoring ability.
You know, this is a guy who, like you said, he's had a bit of an injury bug as of late. What do you think is the main sort of the main aspect of his game he needs to develop? Is it strictly a matter of getting stronger, or is there, you know, sort of one area that you would pinpoint, Craig, that this is something he needs to focus on as he begins his college career?
Every single player has to get stronger. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the first overall pick. These are 17 and 18 year old kids. They all have to get stronger. They're not even close to maxing out or coming near to what their physical strength is going to be. And you can't speed it up. So it's going to take that time, and it needs to get there. But I would say about Chaz, it's just finding that extra gear, that extra pace, you know, that little half a step of quickness. You know, he knows where he wants to go, and he can get there. But, you know, you develop that explosive quickness. It's going to put defenders on their heels just a little bit sooner. And because he can score from distance, if he can create that possibility in defenders' minds that with that quickness he can go by them, well, now they got to defend him in two ways. They got to defend him off the shot, but then they can't get up too close to him because now he can beat them with that quickness. That's the area he's got to work on, in my view. And I think it's clearly an area that is developmental that just needs time. It's not an inherent weakness. It's a developmental weakness. And once he gets that, I think he becomes that much more dangerous.
You know, Craig, he's slated to go to the University of Minnesota next season. Is he the kind of player who you see staying in college for 2-3 years before he makes a jump to the NHL?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's not ready. I mean, there's no rush for him. I mean, Mark Scheifele was drafted 7th overall. It took him. He went back to junior for 2 years. Chaz Lucius going to the University of Minnesota, having an opportunity to play on the world junior team. Bottom line is, this is a good path for him. It allows him to have the opportunity to take the time to develop. He's going to play high-level competition, not only at Minnesota, but also at the World Juniors. He should have an opportunity to play in 2 World Juniors. And then you can see where he's at upon the completion of his sophomore year. But there's no need to rush, and the vast majority of players need more time, not less, and it certainly applies to Chaz.
Craig Button, our guest. You're watching the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our special 2021 draft broadcast dealing with the first round with tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time, rounds 2-7. We're going to be broadcasting as well. Winnipeg Jets have just selected at number 18 overall, Chaz Lucius, a centerman who's going to go to the University of Minnesota next season.
And Craig, you know, just wanted to ask you specifically about the U.S. National Team Development Program. We obviously know that it's such a highly respected and well-regarded. I mean, the number of players that have come out of that program, I mean, is really endless. And specifically the Jets, there's definitely no shortage of players. And the question I wanted to ask you was, you know, why would maybe certain organizations lean towards, you know, that type of player? You know, like, I mean, I don't necessarily know that, you know, the Jets are any different than any organization, but maybe why would they, you know, prefer to draft a player, you know, that's going to, you know, go to that program like the University of Minnesota out of the U.S. national program, as opposed to maybe going with a player, you know, from the Western Hockey League?
My experiences are simple. Teams are looking for good players. It doesn't matter where you play. It doesn't really matter where you're going to play. You're trying to find the skills that translate to the NHL. And, you know, the Winnipeg Jets draft Traz Lucius because they see him as the player they want at 18, and they don't see any other player wherever they're playing. I don't care if they're playing right in the basement of Kevin Cheveldayoff. They're going to select the player that they think is the best player for them, regardless of passport, regardless of position, regardless of size or height or anything like that. That's the goal here. It's not about a preference of one or the other. You look back and you look, let me just see, they drafted a Dane and Nikolai Ehlers. They drafted Josh Morrissey, a defenseman from Prince Albert. They drafted Mark Scheifele from Barrie. You know, they drafted Kyle Connor from Youngstown. Now they draft Traz Lucius. I think their record in the first round is just get us good players, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what language they speak or what their nationality is, and just help us be a good team. That's their mantra.
Craig Button, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, Craig, if you look at, you know, at Traz and his you know, career thus far, are you surprised? Oh, looks like maybe Craig dropped off there for a second. So I will.
Just a second. I'm here.
Okay.
You got me?
Sorry. Your camera seems to have turned off. There you are. You're back. There you go. Yeah. It's okay. In and out. If you can hear me, that's good enough.
I can hear you. Here we go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There you go. I was saying, Craig, you know, when you look at a guy like Traz, you know, does he remind you of anybody in particular that, you know, I know you get that question a lot, that currently would be in the league or formerly had been in the league, you know, his skill set, does he remind you of anyone in particular? Now I think you've muted yourself, Craig.
I wonder if it's getting maybe better to connect and reconnect.
Yeah, maybe we'll remove you and see if we can bring you back in, and that'll help.
Oh, and okay. Fedor Svechkov is the next choice at 19 to the Nashville Predators.
There you go. So, you know,
not sure what's happening there because Craig, I don't think like he could hear himself, but
yeah,
get Craig back on.
Hopefully he'll join us. Why don't you text him, Ezzy, and see if he can, if he resolves that, we can get him back on. Speaking of people we're planning on having on, we're hoping to get Traz Lucius to join us before we wrap up tonight's broadcast, but still a ways to go. The Edmonton Oilers now on the clock at number 20, and obviously that still means there's another, you know, if my math, simple math tells me there's another 12 picks to go, so we're going to be here for a little while still.
Kenny, what do you think? Traz Lucius, how do you like that pick?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a guy we talked about and a guy we weren't sure if he'd be available, but, you know, one of those Kyle Connor type droppers. And if, you know, great comparison, a really good goal scorer. Obviously he doesn't have the, you know, the speed or quickness necessarily that Kyle Connor had coming out of the USHL before he headed to the University of Michigan. But he's a guy that was spoken very highly of. And this is another player. And we talked about Carson Lambos earlier and how his, you know, injury impacted his draft status. Traz Lucius is a guy who I believe was, you know, projected to be a top 10 pick originally. So he's a guy that obviously has a certain skill set, and you don't get into those discussions without being a very skilled hockey player. So I'd be very curious too, if you guys can get Craig back on, I'm curious to see if he believes he's more likely to be a centerman or a winger. Obviously we know if you can score from distance, I mean, Mark Scheifele is a centerman that can score from distance, but I mean, are those guys better served on the wing? Super interesting, but I mean, obviously in the last 2 years, the Jets have had very skilled centermen drop into their lap is, you know, a little bit of an, you know, maybe exaggeration, but two really good players who were, you know, projected to go a little bit higher who ended up being there. And again, we're not in the promotion of saying, hey, we can't believe this guy fell to the team that you cover, but those are both scenarios where Cole Perfetti was not projected to go 10th overall on many boards. And here, Traz Lucius was not projected to go at 18 on many of the mock drafts. So we know that the teams have their own lists, as Craig talked about. This is a player who is very highly thought of, you know, super good hockey intelligence. And we're going to hear, we know that he has a really good and heavy shot. So, and also too, the beauty of, you know, if you're a hockey fan and you like college hockey, you can travel quite easily to the University of Minnesota to watch Chaz Lucius play hockey. You know, maybe even on a Minnesota Vikings weekend, wouldn't you say, Drew?
Are you suggesting, Ken, that I might be Googling the University of Minnesota schedule right now to see how it aligns with the Vikings schedule?
Should.
That would be 100% what I would be doing right now.
November 15th to 16th.
Kenny, if only Jared Moe was still at the University of Minnesota.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of portal transfers right there, David, there you go. Nice work. Nice work on that front. I should probably roll. This has been fun, boys. And like I said, I'm happy to be the opening act, bringing in the headliner, Craig Button, who has many more viewings than I do on these guys. But it's been a lot of fun, as always. You guys are doing great work. And
thanks, Kenny.
Hope you can get Chaz on and enjoy the rest of the show and
Kenny, don't be afraid when you have Chaz, you know, because you guys are gonna have a media conference call with him, I'm assuming very shortly. Send us all the good questions to ask him, because we're hoping to have him on after you guys. So once you've had all the good questions, the ones he responds to, feed those to me. My texts are open.
We'll warm them up for you, boys. Have a great evening and a great weekend. Always good to talk to you.
You
there
too,
he goes,
thanks.
Kenny Weeb joining us on the program. Take care, Kenny. We'll talk again real soon. Back to the original trio then, I guess. I mean, you know.
There were three.
It's been a hectic evening so far. Hopefully, maybe Craig.
I haven't even updated the website, boys. I'm not happy right now.
Well, it's okay. You can update the website. Izzy and I will talk for a couple minutes here.
You guys take it away.
One thing, boys, that stands out here, you know, about this pick is you think about, you know, the center depth, Drew, that the Jets have right now with Mark Scheifele and Pierre-Luc Dubois, Adam Lowry, throw in David Gustafson there. And now you've got Cole Perfetti and you've got Chaz Lucius. And obviously, you know, this is something we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. I mean, if Perfetti does play for the Jets this year, and obviously the Moose are now an option for him, there's a chance that he plays on the wing. But the reality is, at some point, these guys are going to be centers. They're natural centers. So, I mean, this is the future. These guys could be, you know, the future 1-2 centers up the middle with Perfetti and Lucius.
A trade to announce. Edmonton is currently on the clock. They've traded down two spots. Minnesota moves up to number 20. Edmonton drops down to number 22 and also gets a pick number 90. So Edmonton gets a... moves down two spots and picks up a third round pick in order for Minnesota to move up two spots. So the Minnesota Wild
right now, Drew, 20 or 21.
Minnesota's picking at number 20 right now, which was Edmonton's pick, but Minnesota is on the clock instead. And then the Oilers drop down two spots and pick up that extra third round pick as a result. So seeing a little bit of movement of draft picks so far, but interesting that Minnesota has decided to move up. They obviously have somebody in mind that they want to leapfrog the Boston Bruins in order to acquire that person. Wonder if it's a goaltender there. You think about Boston, Tuukka Rask, certainly not getting any younger by any means. And Minnesota, although Minnesota's, you know, their goaltending was solidified last year, and they did lose Kaapo Kähkönen? No, they didn't.
Which was a surprise. They lost Carson Soucy.
Right.
Speaking of surprises, right? Jesper Wallstedt could absolutely be an option here at 20 for Minnesota.
Could be a defenseman, though. You mentioned they lose Soucy.
Yeah. And well, exactly. Like Carson Lambos, Corson Coolmans, like obviously, you know, different, you know, scouts have them ranked differently, you know, and we've been, you know, mentioning the good folks, Aaron Vickers and others at Future Considerations. They had, you know, Corson Coolmans, I believe he was in the top 20. Fabian Lysell, Drew, is another guy that you mentioned earlier that could have been an option for the Jets at 18. And you wonder, you know, when he's going to go, because speaking of Future Considerations, they had him ranked as
Number 11.
So we're at number 20 now. So you got to think Fabian Lysell is going to go in the next two or three picks here.
Yeah, you know, and the knock on Fabian Lysell is that it was his shot that he didn't have what would really be considered an elite shot. That, you know, there was not a lot of His shot needed some work. It needed some improvements. Obviously, a very slight kid. He needed to add some size.
But it's about the zone exits, baby. He's the zone exit master.
Well, that's certainly an important. Attribute.
Zone entries. That's what I meant to say.
Zone entries and exits. Getting out of his own zone, he could carry the puck up the ice on his own. So that was. I have to wonder if the Jets considered him, but the ability and the goal scoring ability. Because what's the hardest thing to do in hockey? It's score goals. That Chaz Lucius has been able to demonstrate. I wonder if that was maybe a bit of a tipping point for the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously, we'll hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff in the next couple of days, and we'll hear what he has to say. And obviously, he won't say that you know what the insight's going to be. And we can't believe he dropped to us, because that's always what it is. But that's how it works. Anyways,
you have to say that, right, Drew?
You do have to say it. The Minnesota Wild now on the clock, then Boston, then Edmonton, then the Dallas Stars. And as I mentioned, we're hoping to hear from Chaz Lucius at a point before we wrap up tonight's broadcast. And same with all the draft picks tomorrow when we join you for a few hours of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Future considerations had Corson Coolmans at 12. So I think Coolmans is a guy that could easily go here 20 to Minnesota as well, Drew. So you were bang on there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's always very interesting at this point in the evening to see the beauty of the eye of the beholder and everything else like that. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get Craig back on, because I was going to ask him about the Ottawa selection, because that's the one that's been the most off the board tonight. I mean, that was the one where you had to go way deep in your scouting book in order to find the individual that the Ottawa Senators took. And I was curious. I know that Craig is was saying that everybody's got a different draft board. And the Ottawa Senators draft board clearly was different than basically everybody else's. But it'd be interesting to hear what his thoughts were when the Ottawa Senators took Tyler Boucher at 10th overall, a guy that really nobody expected him to go in the first round.
Exactly. Like, not even a first round pick, kind of like more of like a mid second round, late second round pick, right? But it happens every year. As you said, Drew, like, amateur scouts, like, you can say whatever you want that these players are 17, 18 years old, but these guys, there's a reason why these guys are paid and employed by these teams, right? Like, they know how to project future talent, and that's what Craig Button has always said on our show, right? Like, they're not picking a player based on what he's going to do in his last year of junior or his first year of university. They're projecting what these guys are going to be at the NHL level, right? So Tyler Boucher is absolutely like a guy who's a little bit off the board, but he's obviously a guy that he's got some decent size and goal scoring ability. And the scouting report that I was reading is that he might be one of the most physical players that's drafted today.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program Craig Button, TSN Director of Scouting. Craig, thanks for working through the technical difficulties and coming back on with us this Friday evening.
Yeah, no problem. I think I was in the middle of an NHL comparable for Chaz Lucius.
That's right.
I was just going to go down the road to from Winnipeg. I'm going to go to Wool Road, Minnesota. Any ideas where I'm headed?
TJ Oshie, Craig.
Nope. Brock Nelson.
Oh. Brock Nelson. Okay.
Swing and a miss, Craig.
Brock Nelson. Yeah, no, that's okay. You didn't leave the bat on your shoulder. And that's that's okay. And a lot of people that are caught looking, you weren't. See, TJ's from War Road. That's the key here. So, and you know what? Dave Christian played for the Winnipeg Jets. And Dave Christian was a really, really good player. And that happens to be Brock Nelson's uncle. So when I watch Brock play, and you watch how he gets his body into spots, and when I describe Chaz as being able to score from distance or from in tight, that's Brock Nelson. And, Brock, he's got that little bit of quickness where he holds defenders at bay. And so that's the comparable that I use, comparable type for Chaz Lucius. But make no mistake about it, he's a really good, gifted offensive player. And give him time, and the Winnipeg Jets will do exactly that.
Craig, before you just came back on, Ezzy and I were talking about the most off the board selection, at least from the pre-draft consensus so far, I think would be Tyler Boucher going to Ottawa at 10th overall. So maybe can you, what do you know about Tyler? What were your thoughts on when you saw his name as one of the top 10 selections? Because I don't think very many people expected to hear his name this early.
So, people don't expect to hear it because, you know, people in the public sphere haven't been talking about him, which is right. What you think everybody in the public sphere is right? No. The only board that matters is the individual team's board. So the Ottawa Senators like Tyler Boucher. The Ottawa Senators are sitting there going, that's our guy. I always say, you know what? Understand what you're evaluating. Evaluate the skills that you value and celebrate it and take the guy you want. Nobody worries about anything else. So, yeah, you know, you're all off the board. Well, guess what? The Ottawa Senators board, it wasn't off the Ottawa Senators board, you know. So here's what I would tell you about Tyler Boucher. Josh Anderson type player. You know, he's got that power to his game. In the open ice, you know, he can really pressure you. He can bear down on you. Can make you uncomfortable. He's not going to be a big-time goal scorer, but he's going to create space. He's going to create opportunities. He's going to drive the net. And when you watch him play and you watch Josh Anderson play, you know, you look at elements that aren't in abundance. You know, there's not a lot of those types of players. And when I look at the Ottawa Senators prospect pool, you know, they got a lot of skilled players. They got a lot of, you know, Brady Tkachuk's a good player. But now you start to round out your team with players that fill these different areas of the game and important areas of the game. And so that's where I see Tyler Boucher. Interesting, his dad was a first-round draft pick, and now son Tyler becomes a first-round draft pick.
Craig, I wanted to go back to Chaz Lucius. Obviously, you know, a lot of Jets fans that are tuning in right now, you know, that's all, you know, they want to hear about of the Jets' 18th overall pick. And I wanted to go back to what you were talking about with the knee injury. Like, obviously, you know, he came back and for the U.S. U18 team, you know, he excelled after that knee injury. But wanted to ask you, like, how much would the Jets amateur scouting staff, you know, and management, how much would they even factor that in? Or like, obviously, you know, they're aware of it, but just based on the results, is that just something, you know, that they look into, make sure it doesn't have any long-term effects? Or is that something that is, you know, I'm just bringing up and it's negligible?
It's only negligible if you've seen the medical report and you do the deep dive. Trust me. Every team is considering any player that's had injury concerns or injury issues. They are doing the deep dive. There's no question about it. And it's not just about just dismissing it out of hand. You have your medical people evaluate the medical reports. You know, you very well can have people go in there. You can have other doctors that are recommended by your medical staff go in and evaluate it to try to give you, you know, a sense of what's happened and try to give you that confidence that, hey, there's nothing wrong here and there's nothing lingering and there's nothing that will impact his development going forward. But these things are not left to just, oh, well, yeah, he'll be okay. Oh, boy, he looks like he's skating okay. Look at him walk like he is walking tremendously well. You know, the medical people are heavily involved in these types of decisions.
And, you know, just the follow-up question here, right? Like, we know that the Jets, you know, currently have great center depth. But when you consider that, you know, Cole Perfetti, you know, is in the system and now Chaz Lucius has been drafted, you know, 18th overall, I mean, just how impressive right now is not only the present center depth for the Jets, but, you know, the future center depth with Perfetti and now Lucius in the fold.
Well, let me just say this. So Perfetti played left wing a lot in his draft year, and Chaz Lucius played. They might both end up on the wing. You know, Blake Wheeler was a center too when he was drafted, and he's a he's a terrific right winger. So, you know, yeah, I know what it says by their names now. I know I've watched them play center, both of those guys. But, you know, with Cole, I've seen him play a lot of left wing. And with Chaz, he might find himself on the right wing. That doesn't diminish anything. That doesn't diminish, you know, their skills or their attributes or what they bring to the game. Because the game is played in a manner now where if you're a winger and you can play in multiple areas of the rink, it's not up and down the wing, up and down a lane. And you like just watch Kyle Connor play, watch Nikolai Ehlers play. They're wingers, but they can play all over the ice. Blake Wheeler was a center that moved to the wing. When things arise, they can move back into the center ice. I think the luxury is that when they played center, they have a comfort level of filling in at that position if they're not regulars at the NHL level. And that's something that is valuable to any NHL team and any NHL coach.
Well, Craig, as he just asked about Cole Perfetti, and when we last had you on, we talked about Cole Perfetti and the idea of him either playing in the NHL or having to go to the OHL. And I know we're focused on the draft, but how big do you think that is for that? You know, Darren Dreger, your colleague at TSN, reported that they're working on an agreement right now between the NHL and the CHL about having an exemption for players like Cole Perfetti, Quinton Byfield. How significant do you think that's going to be?
Well, it's I think that for those players, Quinton and for Cole and others that have played in the American Hockey League last season, that, you know, going back to the OHL would be a step back. And I'm not trying to diminish junior hockey, but for those players, it would be a step back. Would Saginaw love to get Cole Perfetti back? Yeah, no kidding. Would Sudbury love to get Quinton Byfield back? No, yeah, it goes without saying. But, you know, this type of opportunity, you know, comes about. And for Cole and Quinton specifically and others that, you know, are in a similar boat, Jamie Drysdale comes to mind, right? Like, they're going to benefit from going and playing in the American Hockey League after having done that as 18-year-olds. You know, going back to juniors, a step back. This is something that's about development. And I said this many, many times. Junior hockey, the CHL, always talks about development. And they are. They spend they put forth great efforts to develop. But part of development is also letting go. Part of development is saying, you know, what's best for you is moving on. And while I get that for CHL franchises, having a Cole Perfetti, having a Quinton Byfield, having a Jamie Drysdale is great for business. When you are in the business of development, you have to let players go and develop. So I think this type of exemption is really important for the players. I think it builds on what the OHL, the Western Hockey League, the Quebec League are all trying to do with development. And as hard as it is to see players go to a league when you know you could potentially have them back, it's the right thing for these players.
Craig Button, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, a special broadcast focusing on the first round of the 2021 NHL draft. You know, Craig, you talked about the possibility that a guy like Cole Perfetti or the new Winnipeg Jets draft pick, Chaz Lucius, might move to the wing. From, you know, an internal organization standpoint, you know, how does an organization go about making that decision when a player who is drafted, quote unquote, drafted as a centerman gets moved to the wing? What are the fine details that they're looking at in order to make that decision?
Well, it all becomes part of the development. And the development part of that is that you're putting players into positions, you know, and you're saying, okay, here's what you need to work on to excel at that position. And the player has to demonstrate to the coach and the coaching staff, hey, you're progressing in the right area. But at the same time, you start to look and you go, hey, wait a second here. You know, maybe he's not ready to go there. Maybe he needs a little bit more time. Or maybe he's not shown the progress to take on the demands of a center ice position. So now we know that he's got skill. So we'll take a little bit of pressure off and we'll ease the burden on him by playing left wing or right wing. I think it just becomes, I think it's organic. I don't think it's predetermined. You're watching what players do and how they go about it, and then you go from there.
You know, let me follow up on that one. You know, here in Winnipeg, you know, Jack Roslovic, who's now, of course, with the Columbus Blue Jackets, was everybody thought that he was drafted as a centerman, and he played a lot of time with the Manitoba Moose as a centerman, and then they shifted him to the wing, and they called him up as a winger to play on that really good Winnipeg Jets team that went to the Western Conference Final. His development here in Winnipeg sort of stalled at that point in time. You know, could it be detrimental to a player that is used to being a centerman, you know, throughout their development and then they get moved to the wing? How easy is it to jump back into being a centerman after the fact?
I think it depends, you know, if it's a case of just, you know, a transition move where you're trying to allow the player to handle the rigors of the NHL with a little bit less of a burden. And then you say, okay, now you're ready to move back into the middle. And coaches are going to determine that. Everybody's looking for good centers. But when, and I'll give you an example. Corey Stillman was drafted 6th overall by the Calgary Flames. He was a really good center. He comes to the Calgary Flames and he finds his way to the wing. More because You know, they wanted to get him into the lineup. He had skill. He had ability. And, you know, they didn't feel comfortable. He might not have felt comfortable playing in the middle of the ice. I come in as general manager. I'm looking at center ice. So I knew Corey had played center. I knew he'd been really good at center. So I said, you know what? I would like to see you over on the wing. I'd like to see her in the center again. Can you try it? Corey really tried. But what ended up happening was he had fallen into a rhythm of a left winger. And all of a sudden you take a player that's 6-7 years into his NHL career. And while I had seen him play as a center and I thought he was capable, he wasn't comfortable there any longer. And I get that. And I think it's really important to recognize, you know, that a player, while willing, may not be comfortable at that point of his career. And from a team point of view, you're also looking at a situation where, you know, he may not just be able to possess the attributes that you want in a center iceman.
Craig, wanted to ask you about the pick. I believe, I don't know if the 21st pick has been made, but Minnesota selects Jesper Wallstedt.
Lussell.
Okay, so Fabian Lussell just went.
The 21st pick has been made, and the 22nd pick has been made, Xavier Borgo to the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, so we're at pick, I guess that would be pick 24 now.
23,
exactly. Math is simple, not my forte.
Simple math is not our strong
suit. And you probably wouldn't believe, Craig, my dad's a retired math professor at the University of Winnipeg, but not looking too good there. But Jesper Wallstedt, I guess the question I had for you is, obviously Minnesota gave up the picks to jump up to number 20, but were you at all surprised that Sebastian Coso went before him? And what is your assessment of Jesper Wallstedt, who's obviously a very talented goaltender?
Not one bit. I said in previous days that it wouldn't surprise me one bit. I said last night on Jay on SC that it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Sebastian Coso is the first goalie picked. And he was. He's a top-notch goalie. But I think Jesper Wallstedt is a top-notch goalie. Again, you know, if it was as simple as just saying, okay, he's the best, it would be real simple. We all could do the draft. Here's the best player. Here's the next best player. Here's the next best player. Everybody's looking at it through a different lens. I think Jesper Wallstedt's a really strong goaltender. I think he's a number one goaltender. I think that he has all the abilities to carry the load of a number one goaltender, as I feel that about at Kosa. But teams are going to evaluate differently depending on how they assess it and how they look at a particular player and how they project. And it doesn't mean that Jesper Wallstedt is any less of a goaltender than Sebastian Coza. I mean, we're talking about the 15th and the 20th pick. They're both high-end goaltenders. And, you know, going 15 and 20, you know, you knew there was going to be two goaltenders drafted in the first round this year. You knew that. And you knew who the two guys were. Doesn't surprise me one bit that Coza was selected ahead of Wallstedt, but Wallstedt's a real good goaltender.
Friday night, we're going strong. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, a special broadcast dedicated to the first round of the 2021 NHL Draft. We'll be back again tomorrow morning for round two coverage starting at 10 a.m. Our guest this evening, Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, discussing the first round of the draft.
You know, Craig, it's not a specific question.
I'm going to have to cut out in 2 minutes, guys.
Okay.
I got to cut out in 2 minutes.
Okay, perfect. I'll give you a short one because it was more just about the format, the idea of being virtual. How much are you looking forward to the idea of seeing these draft picks actually going up, putting on the jersey? It was nice to see Chaz Lucius with his family, surrounded by family and friends, and getting a hat thrown at him. But how much are you looking forward to next season being in Montreal and being able to be on the draft floor? And, you know, how much more exciting it is in terms of format than the way, I mean, I know what they have to do it, but then doing it virtually.
Listen, for the players and their families and their friends to be at the draft and realizing that a significant part of your dreams are about to be realized, being drafted by an NHL team and everything that goes into that, the anticipation, the nervousness, and then the unbridled enthusiasm and excitement by the players in that environment and their families and friends. The NHL has a draft unlike everybody else. It's unique, it's special. For those reasons. And, you know, the necessity, the pandemic created a necessity for a virtual draft. We understand that. But to get back to the players being able to take in the environment, that the specialness of the NHL draft. I can't wait for it. It's going to be unbelievable, but it's about the young players and their families and friends who have, you know, helped them along the journey to trying to realize their dreams, who have sacrificed and supported all the way along. That to me is what's special. To be able to watch it unfold to me is something that's incredible. It's unique to the NHL, and I can't wait till we get back to it.
Craig Button is TSN's director of scouting. Craig, you're a Hall of Famer in our books. You're a gentleman for joining us. What is this, the fourth time you've joined us in the last about 2 weeks or so? Thank you so much for doing this. We greatly appreciate your time and insight.
Absolutely.
And we'll let you go and get on with your evening. And thanks so much.
Well, thank you, guys. Like I told you this last week or a few days ago. It's my pleasure to join you guys. You guys are passionate. You're knowledgeable. You take what you do seriously. And for the fans of Winnipeg and the Winnipeg Jets fans, Manitoba Moose fans, you provide incredible content for them to tune into. I'm happy to be asked to be part of it.
We appreciate it, Craig. Have a great
appreciate
night.
That, Craig. Thanks so much. Thank you. Thanks, Craig.
There he goes, TSN, TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button. He's probably off to go do a SportsCenter hit right now. How about that? We always appreciate Craig for giving
us time. Boys, this has been a legendary evening. That was, like, if you want to know about a draft pick, I mean, guys, we're not even gonna pretend that we knew, other than seeing his name in draft rankings. We can't pretend we watched him. We knew a lot about him, other than, like I said, what we've been able to read. And to have that sort of insight from Craig is just so valuable, and it's unbelievable. Yeah.
It really is. It really is a thrill to be able to have him on. We had Kenny Weeb join us for a while as well. That was tremendous of Kenny to join us.
I think Ken's still sleeping on my floor right now.
I'll tell you what, guys. We've been at this for 2 hours and 41 minutes without a break. Why don't we take a commercial break? Everybody can stretch their legs. We're not going to be done until the night is done, though. So there's still another 7 or 8 picks tonight. We're hoping to have Chaz Lucius join us. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more draft analysis, more of the first round coverage. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting. We're going to give away some merchandise too. So if you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel, smash the like button. You'll be eligible to win.
Yeah, get some more likes. Let's go, people. Come on.
Lots more to come. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show special 2021 draft coverage live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. We're back. It was a quick break. I hope everybody stretched their legs, got to do what they needed to do.
Got a little agua.
That's good. It's
always needed some water. 2 hours and 40 minutes, Drew, with no break. That might be a new record for us.
That's some good radio right there. That's some good in-depth
radio. Have we ever gone that long, by the way, without a break? Seriously.
It's not radio anymore, Drew. It's streaming.
You know what I meant. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to remember back to when we announced the Jets were coming back. Did we take commercial breaks when that happened? I don't remember. I don't remember any breaks there.
I don't know. But you know what? It was a long lull. I mean, it was a long part of the show. Time to give away some IC merch.
Okay. Let's do it.
We have randomly selected the next winner, the second ever winner of Illegal Curve merch.
And hang on, before you announce it, I want to say that not only do you get an Illegal Curve
t-shirt
merchandise, you get to meet in person and have him come to your home and or office. The only Dave Minuk.
By the way, I was fine doing the first one. I don't know. I remember volunteering to do every single delivery. We'll talk about that off the air.
You should start wearing disguises, Dave, as this kind of goes on. Change it up. Give yourself a mustache, a wig. You can borrow Drew's wig. He'll give it to you.
Yes, that's true. Well, actually, I have my Baba's old wig, so I can use that if I need to.
If you want me to do the drop-off, I'll do the drop-off.
Make the announcement because I believe Chaz Lucius is going to join us momentarily. Okay.
So the winner of the Illegal Curve merch number 2, Sandy and G. Thank you very much, Sandy and G.
Awesome. There you go.
Way to go, Sandy and G.
Congratulations to Sandy for joining us. Here he is, the first round selection of the Winnipeg Jets. Chaz Lucius joins us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Chaz, good evening. Congratulations. Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Awesome. Yeah, couldn't be more happy.
Well, as I mentioned, congratulations on this tremendous accomplishment. I guess walk our audience through the emotions you were feeling as the night went on, and then when you heard your name selected by the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, obviously it was really special. Obviously a little nerve-wracking for sure, but I mean, I think I found a great fit here with Winnipeg, and I'm really excited for the opportunity and for their belief in me.
Chaz, you know, we've read the scouting reports, and, you know, we just had TSN director of scouting Craig Button on to talk about you. But could you, you know, for everyone, you know, watching and will be listening on the podcast, can you just describe your game and, you know, what type of player maybe you would compare yourself to?
Yeah, I'd say my game, I guess what sticks out about my game is definitely my shot and my goal scoring ability. I'd say my offensive production for sure. I'd say my leadership, my ability to create time and space for my teammates and my 200-foot game. And I'd say, you know, guys that I try to model my game after, I'd probably say Mark Scheifele would be the biggest one for me.
Good fit, awesome. Right there, well, immediately then there.
That works here in Winnipeg. Chaz, what's it like being, I mean, you can tell your phone is obviously blowing up. Yeah. What's it like being with your friends and your family right now on this night?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It really is a dream come true, especially to do it with USA Hockey. A big thanks to them, and obviously in my development path and my support, obviously playing for the NTDP. But it means everything to get drafted, and you know, kudos to, you know, all the people that helped me get here.
Well, let's talk about those people, because this is an opportunity for them to shine as well. You know, there's so much that goes into becoming a professional athlete like you did tonight. You know, obviously your family are at the forefront. You know, is there a special coach, you know, throughout your career that's been with you that you can really want to pay tribute to tonight as you become a member of the Winnipeg Jets organization?
Yeah, I'd say for coaches, Billy Hagan and Joe Jensen, they coached me all the way up from 10 years old all the way up until I left for the NTDPA. They really showed me, you know, what it means to, I guess, be a pro, work ethic, determination, and I guess be yourself. And I guess at the end of the day, you know, you'll be the best player possible and believe in what you can do, and you'll go very far with it.
No, Chaz, just, you know, we wanted to ask you, we were talking about it, you know, again, you know, reading the scouting reports, like how extra special is that considering, you know, the knee injury that you overcame this past year and now culminating in, you know, being drafted by the Jets in the first round?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It was about a year ago that I had my surgery. So if you would have told me that this was happening today, it would have been crazy to me. And you know, but every day I worked hard and I kept training, kept preparing. And I'm really pleased with the opportunity that I have here at Winnipeg. And I'm excited when I get going.
Well, Chaz, we don't lack for Minnesotans in Manitoba. There certainly are a lot of Minnesotans on the Winnipeg Jets Manitoba Moose roster. Is anybody that you're here, anybody in the organization you're familiar with?
No, I haven't met anybody in the organization yet, no.
You're off to the University of Minnesota next year. You're going to be a Golden Gopher. You know, I guess why did you choose the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and what do you hope to sort of work on and have develop in your first year at college hockey?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest reason for me, I'd probably say close to home is a big reason for me. The coaching, the players there, you know, everybody pushing, supporting, and I think we're going to have a really good team next year, so I'm excited for the opportunity there as well.
You know, what is your, you know, sort of off the ice? I mean, obviously hockey is a passion and it's probably bordering on a bit of an obsession, but, you know, what does Chaz Lucius do when he can sort of step away from the game of hockey a little bit?
Yeah, when I'm not playing hockey, I'm trying to hang out with my friends, family. Yeah, do whatever. Golf, wake surf, fish, you name it, I'll probably be doing it.
Sounds Chaz, like a very...
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, we'll have to, you know, reserve the fishing questions for now, because Dave M is for sure the best fisherman out of the three of us. I don't have a lot of success when I'm out there. I usually am just drinking beer. But, you know, Chaz, wanted to just ask you, like, what's the kind of the next few weeks going to be like for you, right? Because we're in the middle of, you know, the summer right now, end of July. But, you know, things are going to pick up. I imagine you're going to, you know, be training and you know, getting ready to, you know, eventually make your way to Winnipeg.
Yeah, so right now I'm at the World Junior Summer Showcase for USA Hockey, so obviously that's the next thing on my mind right now in Michigan. We'll have games next week, so really looking forward to that and being back with the group of guys. And then from that point on, just continue to train, you know, work hard, keep my skills progressing and keep my game progressing, and then I'll be on campus at the University of Minnesota starting August 30th, so I'm really excited.
Chaz, you know, how familiar are you with Winnipeg, Manitoba? Have you been up here before? And just what's your knowledge base of the city and the organization?
Yeah, I've been up there before for hockey tournaments all the time when I was younger. So I definitely have been there quite a few times.
That's good. You'll be familiar with the city in that case, Chaz. You know, I guess the at this point in your career, you know, you talked about the knee injury. You said last year it was at this time that you were going through the knee surgery. Can you maybe take our audience through the sort of the rehab process and what you had to sort of go through to get that strength back and sort of what caused the injury in the first place, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was about 2 years ago. What happened was I took a puck to the knee in the right spot to where as I continued to grow and mature, my growth plates kind of closed just right on the perfect spot of my knee. And then August 21st is when I had my surgery date. I just had a bone lesion in my knee. So what they do is they just go in, scrape it out, and then wait for the new bone to grow back. So that's kind of what they did for the surgery. And then the recovery process was really extensive. For the first 6 weeks, I was actually in a wheelchair. Just couldn't move my leg, couldn't walk, and also in a straight leg knee brace. And from that point on, I would do PT every day, going to hyperbaric oxygen chamber. I don't know if you're familiar with that or anything.
Yeah.
5 hours a day. And that's really what kind of helped the recovery process speed up, of just kind of growing the bone back. And from that point on, I would skate for the first time in December and then play my first game of the season second week of February.
I know very well that I'm anytime I've had any injuries, I'm not an athlete, so they've never offered to put me into a hyperbaric chamber or anything along those lines. That's for sure.
Yeah. Chaz, I'm sure you've got to go pretty soon. I'm sure that you have more than a few things to do right now, including a lot of celebrating. But, you know, you were just picked about, you know, 20 minutes ago or 30 minutes ago. What was that like leading up to, you know, that selection? Because obviously, you know, you most likely knew you were going to go in the first round and you weren't sure where. But, you know, what were those kind of moments and minutes like leading up to the Jets, mentioning, saying your name and selecting you, making you a Jet?
Yeah, obviously I was really nervous before they called my name, but they sent me a text right before the pick, so there was a little more relief for the pick and happiness instead of nervous energy. So I'm pretty happy with that. And, I mean, definitely nervous time for sure, but I landed with the right team, the right organization, and I'm thrilled to be a Winnipeg Jet.
Awesome.
Did you have an inkling that it was going to be the Jets, Chaz? You know, had they interviewed or had they spoken to you in any of the sort of the pre-draft process?
Yeah, I definitely knew that they liked me for sure, but obviously it's the other teams passing on you too as well, and that kind of happening. But I mean, I think this is the best fit for me for an NHL team, and I'm thrilled to be a part of the organization.
Well, thanks for joining us, Chaz, and congratulations on your selection in the first round by the Winnipeg Jets.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
There he goes, Chaz Lucius, taken by the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the 2021 NHL Draft. Congratulations again, Chaz, and thanks so much for joining us tonight. We'll let you get on with your evening. There he goes, Chaz Lucius, joining us on the program. So great to
hear from him. Well-spoken kid.
I mean, good for him, and what a nice kid. And like Craig Button mentioned that, like the last couple of drafts have been virtual, obviously, and we're expecting the 2022 draft to be in Montreal in person, but just awesome. Like, you know, you could just, it was the electricity and the excitement coming from him. So,
yeah.
You know, great. Just awesome. I mean, this never gets old. We've been covering drafts since 2011 when Mark Scheifele was taken in St. Paul. So great that we could get him on. Seems like just an awesome kid.
Of course.
You know what though? Just 1 sec, Drew. I was going to say, like, it is, as a year, 100% right. And that's what I said at the beginning of the night, how much fun this night is, because there's that excitement and you kind of ride it a little bit. You know, you can just sense the energy from the kids when they get selected and how excited they are for this next step in their journey, and knowing obviously there's a ways to go, but each one of these guys, you know, they've got clean slates with this new organization, with a new fan base, with a new city, and it's palpable. And I think people in the audience probably picked up on it. You can see it. He just seems like a great kid, real earnest, and really excited at this opportunity. So I'm 100% with you. Like I said, it's why I wrote about it in the papers this morning. It's my favorite time of year, because there's that excitement. It's just, it feels different. And
it's like high school. It's like high school graduation, right? Which for Drew was about 40 years ago.
Thank you. I was waiting for that joke. I was going to say Corson Koolemans, who we talked about earlier on the show and thought potentially might be a Winnipeg Jets target, just went number 25 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he's off the board. Carson Lambeau still available. So that's something worth keeping an eye on.
Wouldn't be surprised if he goes very soon, like 26th or 27th overall.
Yeah, Minnesota, Carolina, Colorado, New Jersey. I think who else is still going to be on the clock? The Chicago Blackhawks are going to be on the clock, if I'm not mistaken. So there's still a few teams left before we wrap up day one, round one coverage here of the 2021 NHL draft. But that was a very great interview with Chaz Lucius, and we look forward to some more of the draft picks joining us tomorrow throughout our day two coverage. We're also going to be joined early on in the broadcast tomorrow by Mark Morrison, the new head coach of the Manitoba Moose. He was obviously a former assistant coach of the Moose. He's now back in Winnipeg to head up the Manitoba Moose. He's going to join us, I believe, at 10:20 a.m. tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So you can stay tuned to day two coverage of the
12 hours from now
show. I know it's 12 hours from now. It's okay. We're going on, you know, this, like Dave said, it's our fun time, but it's a
busy
time.
We do it for the people. We absolutely do it for the people, and we love it. We love every minute of it. We love talking about, you know, these types of, you know, these types of events and these types of players. And, you know, Craig Button was telling us that he could see, you know, Chaz Lucius as a right winger at the NHL level, even though, you know, he's a natural centerman, he's played wing. So, you know, this is the type of stuff that we love bringing to you guys.
Carson Lambeau says it. You just mentioned him. He just went number 26 overall. He goes to Minnesota. So the Minnesota kid comes to Winnipeg. The Winnipeg kid goes down to Minnesota in a
the Wild have a good player there. Lambeau has wheels. I've seen him play a couple times with the Winnipeg Ice. This was back in 2019, so he would have been a 16-year-old. But you know, this is a guy that was invited to the national junior team camp. Like he's got great skating ability, you know, great offensive instincts. You know, he's obviously not going to step right into the NHL. He's going to play for the Ice next year, but you know, Minnesota's got a good one there.
That Ice team's going to be good next year also.
I mean, yes,
it should be good.
Connor Geeky,
all things being equal, that should be a good hockey game. So here we are. We are now at pick number 27, the Carolina Hurricanes on the clock. And well, this should be over within the next 30 minutes or so. So,
I have a question for you. Is tomorrow's draft going to be 45 hours?
No, you know, the picks go fast and furious. I mean,
that's what they told us last year.
Well, except last year.
Are you aware that we're at the ninth Fast and the Furious movie? F9?
I didn't know that. Really?
And before the draft started, it was actually the fifth.
Yeah. But you know what happens always when it comes to the day two is that, you know, first of all, if the Jets, I mean, once the Jets are off the clock after round five, unless they trade back in in the sixth or the seventh round, they don't have anybody after the fifth round.
You're right. They've got three more picks.
And that's where like picks. A trade, like a Sammy Niku for a late round pick could factor in, right? Like Weber was talking about that. I mean, like that's always an option.
If you're going to trade Sammy Niku, why are you trading him for a sixth or a seventh? You're better off just holding on to him and seeing if something was to happen.
I'm not suggesting that they're you know, that's something that's in the works. I'm just saying a trade like that is always a possibility.
As an aside, sorry, let me interject.
I'm not saying it's a, you know what I'm saying, Drew.
Let me interject because in 2 hours, Rob Mahoney's saying that Kenny is having three birthdays during draft.
Yeah.
That's good. That's fun. But in 2 hours,
yeah,
the guy at the bottom of the screen is going to be having his actual birthday, and he's so kind as he's going to spend his real birthday, July 24th, with all of you for a number of hours tomorrow.
I think you should get Rob Mahoney a T-shirt.
Rob Mahoney could win a shirt, but he's going to have to contribute on Saturday to the chat. We'll see. Right,
Rob, I'll give you one of my shirts.
Nobody wants a shirt you've worn. I can assure you people of that. Let me ask
you again. I would get the shirt off my back. I'll watch it.
What time were you born, Big Daddy? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. I was out with my dad last night for some pre-birthday drinks and my sister as well.
No, he actually asked you when your birthday was.
Exactly. No, I mean, I feel like I was a morning baby. I was born at St. Boniface Hospital. I know that, obviously. I guess I'll text my dad and ask him what time I was born. I do remember what time both of my kids were born.
That's 7 good. 0, they are your children.
7:02 in the morning for Ariella, recently turned three, and then Ruben was in the afternoon. I lied, I forget what time it was, but Ruben was in the afternoon, late afternoon. I want to say it was like 5 o'clock.
At least you got Ruben. Your name right. At least you got his name right.
7:02. I'll never forget because Ariella came out nice and quick.
I'll tell you what the difference between your first kid and your second kid. My first kid, it happened, my daughter was born on a Saturday morning. I missed the show.
Both my kids were born on Saturdays. You know, yes, that. I see Saturday, Drew. Come on.
It's true. And then I texted you and I think Rich and Dave, and you guys announced the birth of my child on air, which is something they're always going to be able to remember. And then
Wasn't it Matt Leibel? I thought it was the Big Show that announced the birth of Aaron.
No, it was my son. It was my son. I think what happened
was the Big Show. Okay.
I actually did is I went and did an interview on the Big Show about 2.5 hours after my son was born. Cause that's the second kid. The second kid, you're all used to everything. You don't have to worry about any of that. You can just go off and get a coffee and do a radio interview a couple hours after your kid's born. So no worries at that point in time. But in any event, it will be Ezzy's birthday tomorrow. So party hats and party favors and noise makers and everything along those lines for Mr. Ginsburg tomorrow morning.
You know what we're doing? We were gonna go out for dinner tomorrow. I was telling Dave this right before we hopped on. Naomi and I were gonna go out for dinner, but I said, you know what I really want to do on my birthday? Something that we haven't done for at least 2 years. We're gonna go check out a movie.
Look at
Space
you.
Jam. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
New Space Jam movie. Yeah, we're going to check it out tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to having some popcorn with lots of butter and maybe sprinkling a few Junior Mints on there. So that's going to be my 39th birthday. Love it.
That sounds a little depressing to me, but that's what happens when you have a 39th birthday.
And you're depressing. I mean, we're going to go check out a movie and we're going to have good time. And nobody's gone to a movie in, at least a year and a half.
I actually have to say I was talking about that the other day. And I know we are, 14 hours into this draft show.
You can excuse us if we go a little squirrely at this point in time.
And there's still some hockey to talk about, but I will say
my left leg is numb right now, by the way.
I have not seen a movie in 4 or 5 years. I don't think I used to go around Christmas time, see one. I can't even remember last time. I have no desire. There's nothing.
Why?
There's no good movies. They don't make good movies anymore.
Okay. You're passionate about this one.
I'm not a movie buff. More of a biff, but the point is, I'm not a big fan.
Let's be honest. How many times, anytime you want to watch a movie, you think, is this going to compare? What's the movie you and Ezzy always watch?
Oh, come on. Well, there's a few.
Yeah, there you go. Thank
you. Grandma's Boy. What are you talking about?
No, that's my boy. Oh, no, not Grandma's Boy. That's my boy.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, Grandma's Boy was also.
Grandma's Boy is a good one. But not as good as That's My Boy. My boy is like here, then White Chicks would be there. Yeah.
By the way, guys, Ofefi in the chat is my wife, Naomi, in case you were wondering.
Oh.
So thank you, Naomi, for saying I'm ageless.
Ah.
Oh. Well, she also said Dave looks bored. So, I mean, she's right on both counts, I think. In any event, it's quite the party as we sit here.
I'm just making sure we're updating a little site called illegalcurve.com.
That's right. Dave's multitasking. Ezzy and I are trying to keep this going as we got about 5 picks to go. And the TV broadcast has at least gone to a commercial break.
Just a reminder, though, for people in the chat. So the draft is going to go another 5. Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to be speaking.
Yes.
He'll be doing his after the conclusion of the draft. So we'll have that. We were not going to have that on this show, I don't believe.
We're
unless
not.
The boys, unless Dave, the boys want to stay up.
I'll be sleeping on your couch when Chevy's
talking. Yeah, but what we're going to do is, where's my car? That's a good one from Mark Sports Video. But we'll have that up on illegalcurve.com, Chevy's comments.
There you go. So if you want to hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff after round one about how they did not expect Chaz Lucius to drop to them there.
And
they considered all options and they maybe considered a trade, but there wasn't anything that really appealed to them, especially with Lucius being available. You can hear that later tonight on illegalcurve.com.
Yeah, and obviously, you're being tongue in cheek, Drew.
Of course I am. It's not a shot at Chevy. It's all general managers.
Every GM says the exact same thing, except I don't think that, Pierre Dorion is going to be able to say that about Tyler Boucher, but all due respect to Tyler Boucher, but there is a little bit of a similarity to Kyle Connor, right? Back in 2015 in Florida, Dave, with Chaz Lucius, like we've been talking about future considerations. The good folks there that put out their draft guide and we purchased it. Actually, Drew purchased it and it was nice enough to let us use it, but he was at, he was ranked 14, right? So if you think about it, 18 or I guess really 17, that could be considered a steal, even though Craig Button told us not to ever use steal, Dave. But look, they have a good player, and everybody, every team that drafts their player thinks they have a good player. How could they possibly think otherwise? I mean, this is what the, you know, the amateur scouting staff does, but you know, it's going to be absolutely, you know, exciting to follow Chaz Lucius with the University of Minnesota and, you know, see how quickly he gets into an, a Jets uniform.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, these are, you know, the draft is usually a feel-good story for the most part. I mean, you know, by and large, it's a feel-good story because it's always nice to see these kids, and they are kids. They're 17, they're 18 years old. You know, maybe they're 19 years old on
occasion. Are we getting older, Drew, or are they getting younger? I think we're getting older.
If we're getting older. Yeah, they've always been – the draft picks have always been 17, 18, 19 years old. We've just gone and started to get older. That's the reality of the situation, unfortunately. But what I was saying is that it's you know, these are feel-good stories. And sure, you can say, well, maybe I prefer that player, I prefer that player. But, I mean, these are all projections. These are all exactly. These are all, you know, educated guesses by people who do this for a living. So they certainly have a fair bit of knowledge. But regardless of you know, sort of what you think about a player, you never want to criticize the player that's taken. So sure, Ottawa went, you know, way off the board, and nobody really expected Tyler Boucher to be selected 10th overall. That shouldn't diminish the accomplishment for Tyler Boucher. He has no, you know, that, you know, obviously a team, the Ottawa Senators in this instance, think highly enough of him that they want to grab him nice and early. So, you know, congratulations, Tyler Boucher, no matter what else happens in your life.
Absolutely,
and in your career,
Drew. Yeah.
It can always say that you're a top 10 pick in the NHL draft.
And we talked about it earlier, right? When we had Weber and Craig on at the same time, right? Like, you know, Remo and I were there in 2011, and a lot of people, you know, it was that Sean Couturier debate, right? And we're not going to get into that now because, you know, it's pointless. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, Mark Scheifele at seventh overall, when, you know, some scouts might have had him going, you know, mid first round or late first round, look at where he's at now. That's what matters. It's where the player ends up, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Or look at a Logan Stanley, who was a first round pick. And, you know, there were some Jets fans that, you know, weren't sure that he was going to, you know, make an impact at the NHL level. Well, if you watched game 4 against the Montreal Canadiens, Logan Stanley made an impact at the NHL level with 2 goals, one of which was an absolute rocket beating a future Hall of Famer. So turns out Logan Stanley was a pretty good pick.
Looks like the Carolina Hurricanes. If you're wondering why there hasn't been a pick in the last, I don't know, 30 minutes by the looks of it, Carolina has traded pick number 27 to Nashville for pick number 40 and pick number 51. So Carolina is trading. Carolina is going to get 2 second round picks for Nashville, moving up 13 spots back into the first round. There's obviously someone there that Nashville particularly liked. So as a result,
is Atu Ratu a possibility here? Like when we talked to Craig Button about Atu Ratu, you know, he kind of expected him to be a late first rounder. So we're at pick 27 right now. You wonder, you know, kind of reminds you, Dave, what was that 2016, 15 Ellie Tolvanen? Was a late first round pick by Nashville, so you wonder if you know, Atu Ratu is an option here for Nashville.
Yeah, no, certainly. Go ahead, Drew.
I was just gonna say, I hope they pick somebody soon enough because I think Carson Lambos has been the last pick made, and that was about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part where it's kind of like, okay, fine, there was a trade, I get it, but like, you got to know your board. You know, like you like Craig was saying, like everybody is saying, at this point, you have your list. And if someone is on that list and they've fallen, then this is your opportunity to seize and get it. And I know that, you know, people are going to be, like I said, with Chad Lucius, people are going to be ecstatic that he was available for the Winnipeg Jets with that type of scoring talent, because that's what you want, right? Like, I mean, again, you drawing comparisons to the Kyle Connor pick. I mean, here, what an opportunity for the Jets for a guy who they don't necessarily need to rely on right away. But that is, people talk about, oh, you need to draft, you know, right side defenseman. Well, you got Johnny Kovacevic and you got Leon Gavanke. You've got some in the system, but you don't have a ton of forward depth. You know, Kenny talked about Nathan Smith going back to Mankato. You've got Cole Perfetti now who could play in the AHL. But there's not a huge, again, Gustafson and Vesalainen, and they're kind of out of that prospect window. And really, they're guys that should be seen in a different sort of way. So from the Jets perspective, you really need to start to reach a guy I actually really like, and I watched him very closely this year, Henry Nikkanen. But the only difference is, the only issue is he re-signed for two more years in Finland. Now, it's not to say that he couldn't come over and have an out clause in his contract to play here in North America. But the point is, he's a guy who had a – I thought, again, he's a guy who fell, if you remember, in 2019, fell. He was originally thought to be a first-rounder, fell to the fourth because he had injury issues in his draft year. I thought he was great in Finland. Again, watching – I didn't watch his game so much, but I watched a lot of what he was able to accomplish and kept track of it, obviously, for the website. So Henri Nikkanen is another young forward prospect who could potentially fill that. But, again, from the Jets' perspective, such an important need for a guy if he can play center, if he can play on the wing, from an organizational perspective.
The Predators traded up to get Zachary Leroux out of the QMJHL. So he's a left winger, you know, 5'11", just under 200 pounds.
Halifax Mooseheads, right?
Halifax Mooseheads out of the QMJHL.
We, so had, you know, Willy, that getting... we had Willy Palov, if you guys remember, on that was, I don't know, almost a year ago. And right after that,
a year ago,
the Halifax Mooseheads season was, you know, paused for a little bit there because of COVID. But, you know, he's a guy that I know has a little bit of an edge, a little bit of nastiness to his game. But yeah, he, you could say he's another guy that, you know, some scouts had, you know, as a top 15, top 20 pick. So obviously they were willing to give up, you know, a couple draft picks there and draft him. But I know, remember Willy Palov was saying he's a really talented player who, again, like a lot of these guys, has a really bright future.
Yeah, exactly right. So he's going to go to the Nashville Predators organization as the he is in future considerations. They have him down at 45, but I mean, you really, a bit of a grain of salt with all the rankings this year, given how, you know, wild and really unusual this entire season has been, you know, right throughout minor hockey. Leroux, big power forward that plays with an edge. His strength is a big positive in his gameplay. He'll need to improve his engagement in his own end and work on discipline. Well, you know, you can work on discipline. Those are things that you can, you know, it's not like working on, you know, skating, you know, you know, which you can obviously work on. He was
suspended multiple times. I know that. I don't know if it was two times or three times, but some people were kind of describing him as like a Brad Marchand, Brendan Gallagher type.
Well, that's certainly a high praise if you when you consider it that way. You know, so we are now on to pick number 28, where the Colorado Avalanche and their avalanche of riches when it comes to young talent is on the clock. Four picks to go, or five picks to go, technically.
Maybe not an avalanche of captains, though.
Well, they're certainly having some trouble with Gabriel Landeskog and trying to figure out how that's going to play and where he's going to end up, because it certainly sounds like he may not be in Colorado starting next season. And that would be
crazy.
Well, it's you know, we've never seen Landeskog wearing any other jersey beside a Colorado Avalanche jersey. So that would certainly be something that we'll keep a close eye on. One week from the expansion draft this past Wednesday, so about 5 days from today, which allows me to plug Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 8 o'clock at night, our Illegal Curve free agency recap show. So we're going to go back at it on Wednesday to talk about everything that happened during day one of free agency and talk about all the moves. Hopefully the Jets have made some sort of move at that point so that we can talk about. Otherwise, you know, much like the expansion draft broadcast, it might be slightly anticlimactic. But again, join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. and then join us Wednesday at 8 p.m. And to answer Tracy's question in the chat, yes, hopefully the first round will be done by then.
And, you know, Drew, speaking of the our last two shows of the summer before we take a little bit of a, you know, an August break, we're going to have Return of the Mac, Mark Morrison, returning to the Manitoba Moose tomorrow on Saturday. And then on Wednesday, I was speaking to him on the phone last week, returning to Manitoba because he's been in California. We're going to have Murat Atesh on Wednesday's show. So looking forward to that.
There you go. Some things you can look forward to. And also our buddy Scott Billick is going to join us on.
Yeah, Scotty's going to join us tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully he's been shotgunning some mustard packets too, so that he can be ready for the excitement of rounds 2 through 7 of the NHL draft. Well, we can thank the Colorado Avalanche. They made a quick pick. Their pick is in as they are set to announce who they're taking at number 28 overall between Joe Sakic appearing on the screen right now. You know, from the Jets' perspective, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's always the possibility they could trade back into the first round in the next few picks if there's somebody they like. I'd be surprised. That would not be typically their MO. especially given that they only have four picks in this year's draft at this point in time. But it'll be interesting to see what their strategy and their approach is for tomorrow's day two of the draft, the Avalanche taking Oscar Olsson at number 28 overall, a right winger out of Sweden. Yeah, I was looking. I don't think there's any relation to Freddie.
No.
But I definitely looked earlier. In fact, it'd probably be Freddie's grandson. If it wouldn't be Freddie's kid at this point in time. You know, it'd be
too soon, Drew.
I'm not kidding. How old would Freddie be now?
We did an interview with Freddie, didn't we?
We did back when the Jets came back in 2010, 2011, something like that.
I feel like I was on a
show. He was a really good defenseman. I think, you know, people forget. I mean, obviously, you know, when Phil Housley came over in the trade, you know, for Buffalo, you know, he had that great season when Teemu Selänne had
54 years old.
Freddie Olsson was a really good defenseman. Like, he could really skate and had, like you said, Dave, he had the good slapper from the point.
Yeah, he wasn't the most accurate shot from the point, if I recall correctly, but he certainly was a stalwart. Shot. He was a stalwart on that Jets blue line along with Teppo. Those are the two guys, and I mean, the less said about Boughton and Ulanov and those guys, the better, I would suggest. But, you know, Freddie Olsson.
Don't forget about Boris Mironov, Drew.
Boris Mironov. I mean, Mironov.
I have an autograph of Ulanov.
Igor Ulanov was the first of the Russians to kind of come over, wasn't he? Or no, Sergei Harin. Or was it Ulanov?
You're going back to like the late 80s now, Dave.
Was it Harin or is it Ulanov who was the first kind of the Russian players?
Well, one year the Jets took, I think, seven Russian players.
Well, so you know, you speak about that, and we played this on the show, you know, probably a few years
the Mike Smith
now.
Interview? That was amazing. It was so good.
It was a very random thing to find. I found it on ESPN I think it was on ESPN's 538 site. The website, I don't know if they still have the 538 site or not. They had it dedicated to sort of analytics. And Mike Smith, you know, was always looking. I mean, he was, I guess, ahead of his time. I mean, he was obsessed with the Russian players, but he was ahead of his time in that he always looked for sort of undervalued and players that might otherwise be overlooked because they weren't necessarily considered what was quote-unquote, you know, the right style of the time. It's a really interesting, I'm sure I have the link to it in my old emails. I'll look for it Monday.
Think about, you know, some of those picks though, right? Like Alex Zamnov. You guys remember Igor Korolev? Korolev was a great player.
Evgeny Davidov.
Evgeny Davidov was.
So for the record, it was Sergei Harin was draft pick in 1989, the 12th round. Could you imagine doing 12 rounds, boys? 240th overall. And Igor Ulanov was the 10th round, 203 overall in 1991. So Sergei Harin would have been in the first one.
Wasn't there a player on the Jets also, Jan Kaminsky? You guys remember him?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Have
we gotten to the point in the show now where we're just randomly naming Jets 1.0?
Yeah, guys, I think you know we need to get back to the actual 2021 draft here.
Yeah, well, the Devils are on the
get clock. Us back on track. You're the host. If you don't smarten up, we're going to bring Weber back here, Drew. Come on.
That's you don't have to do much to get Ken going. So that makes my job a lot easier.
You don't have to do much to get Ken going or to bring him back.
That's true. Exactly. We send him a text. He'll be back. All of a sudden, he appears. He just magically appears at this point in time. In any event, the Devils are on the clock. They have a minute and a half left in their time before they have to make their selection here. At number 29 overall. Say that again.
No, I was saying I hope they take a defenseman because they definitely need defensemen. It was a joke because they took Luke Hughes, right, with the fourth overall pick.
That's true. They have a lot of holes, though. They have no shortage of needs, that New Jersey Devils team right now. But, yes, they did take Luke Hughes at fourth overall, which seems like it happened about 3 hours ago. It's probably because it did happen about 3 hours ago.
It literally took 3 hours, Drew, to get to this point, yes.
It's not a short night with the first round of the NHL draft, that's for sure. And
let me tell you, it also is a lot easier when we are there. To make the time, like, it just seems like a different, although the I have to say this,
you know what also makes things a lot easier? Commercial breaks. Usually may help things out.
For anybody who's curious, the Chad Lucius interview that he did with the media, I'm downloading right now, so I'll have that up on YouTube, not to compete with us right now, but you can watch that later.
There you go. So that's the scrum that he did after getting drafted. And yeah. then he was obviously on with us. So you can watch both of those. You can catch our interview just, you know, as soon as this broadcast is over, it'll be available on our YouTube page. And of course, available for download on your podcasts. And tell all your friends that if you want to hear from the Winnipeg Jets first round selection this year, Chaz Lucius, you can do so by checking out illegalcurve.com and the Illegal Curve YouTube. With the Jets selection of Chaz Lucius tomorrow, we'll talk about the Jets second round selection, the third round selection, and we'll talk about more draft picks tomorrow as we get back at this in about 11 hours time. Very interesting night. It sort of got dull there for a while, but it ended very interesting, and you'll see what happens with the rest of this. We want to say thank you to all of you for joining us. Let's move on to something more positive to wrap this up. Thank you to so many of you who've joined us tonight on the broadcast. As we do this for you, you made it fun. The chat was certainly lively. We appreciate all the comments, all the feedback, everything about that. So thank you so much for everybody for joining us. We encourage you to join us again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Manitoba Moose head coach Mark Morrison is going to join us. Our buddy Scott Bill is going to join us. We're going to be joined by the Winnipeg Jets draft picks when they are made. Obviously, I don't know who they're going to be, but they're going to join us just like Chaz Lucius joined us tonight. In case you missed any of the broadcast, it'll be available on our podcast. It'll be available on our YouTube channel as well as soon as this show ends. Big thank you to our sponsors. They make this show possible. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Boston Pizza, and our good friend at Seagram support these fine businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Dave Manuka is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg is in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow morning, Saturday, 10 a.m. and day two coverage of the NHL draft, we wish you good night and good luck.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.